In President Duterte's last SONA, he clearly stated that the nation cannot afford another lockdown. Yet here we are, and we are now in the third lockdown since the beginning. And the reason for the flip-flop is because of the experts. Their interpretation of the situation has persuasive weight, and even a president had to listen. At least they are interpreting hard data. Now, there are those who think that anything of religion is just opinion. There is no more frequent objection, perhaps, to a decisive religious position than to be told that is just your interpretation. Now, here, interpretation is used as an equivalent of an opinion. And this is like interpreting dreams. But in the story of Joseph that we have been dealing with, we find Joseph's life was moved by dreams. The turning points of his life were shaped by dreams, his own and those of others. He was both dreamer and interpreter. And I have explained again and again, and as we begin this month again, the continuation of this series, let me again explain that dreams were used by God both in the Old Testament and the New Testament periods as means of his revelation to his chosen people. Now, that is no longer the case in our time because what God's word is now is completely written. All that God wants to say by way of special revelation is now in the Bible. So we sang the Bible stands and it will be forever. And that is what we believe. Do not make much of your dreams. But before the Bible was written, in the time of Joseph, not a single scripture was yet written. God spoke many times through dreams, and those dreams, we can say, were God's means of revelation. They were the word of God. And as we follow Joseph, he had his pair of dreams, but his brothers were provoked to jealousy. They sold him as a slave in Egypt. And in Egypt, Joseph tried to make the best of the situation, even as he was a slave in Potiphar's house, and yet he excelled. And yet there in Potiphar's house, he had to resist temptation, but he was framed up anyway and had to spend time in prison. In prison, he had to interpret the dreams of the officers of Pharaoh, and particularly of the cupbearer, to whom he gave a very good interpretation, and the interpretation was fulfilled. And he was hoping that the cupbearer will reciprocate his kindness, but that was not the case in Joseph's case, not at least in the next 2 years. And yet we do not find Joseph wallowing in misery. We learned there that hope in God's kingdom rule overcomes blaming misery on offenders. This is something that will stand out in Joseph's character. And as we continue our consideration, we now encounter yet another pair of dreams. And I would invite you to turn your Bibles with me. You have been asked to read Genesis 41, the first 36 verses. So I will just read verses 8 to 16 and then jump to verses 32 and 33. And from there, go to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. So first is Genesis 41, 8 to 16. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. We dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Verse 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Then jump to verses 32 and 33. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Now, two verses in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So here, another pair of dreams, another turning point in Joseph's life. This time, the dreams were of Pharaoh. He was the most powerful man, not only in Egypt, in the world of that day, but the most powerful man who is considered God in ancient Egypt proves powerless in understanding his dreams. And at this point, the cupbearer finally has the courage to do what he is supposed to do from the beginning, and that is to speak on Joseph's behalf. And when Pharaoh learns of Joseph's ability, he summoned him. Joseph is quickly prepared. After all, he is coming from a stinking pit of the dungeon of his prison and now going to the palace in the court before the most powerful man on earth. He had to be prepared physically. He had to have his hair cut. He had to be groomed and everything in order to fit the presence of such a man. Now, what do you think is Joseph to say before the most powerful man who has power over his life? Now, many others would go out of their way to make sure they please this man, not to annoy him, not to irritate him. But Joseph is a man of God. He is a man under God's rule. He knows that Pharaoh's dreams are the word of God, and he wants to use the occasion to point everybody, Pharaoh included, to God no less. And my message I want to derive from this is that God's kingdom rule requires interpretation of his word that comes from God. Ang makaharing pamamahala ng Diyos ay humihingi ng pag-uunawa ng kanyang salita na galing sa Diyos. God's kingdom rule requires interpretation of his word that comes from God. Again, how many times have you heard the evasion when you try to witness to someone or tell him the truth of the gospel and you are told that is just your interpretation and there are so many other interpretations and the idea is it's just your opinion and respect the opinions of others. But Joseph makes it unambiguous to Pharaoh where the interpretation of the dreams really comes from, and that is from God. And in Joseph's approach to interpreting the dreams of Pharaoh, remember they are God's word. In Joseph's approach to interpreting them, we see the right attitude to interpreting the word of God by principle. And there are two things I want us to see. The right interpretation first is firmly unimpressed by human ability. Matibay na tumatanggi sa kagalingan ng tao. Firmly unimpressed by human ability, and secondly, fully illumined by divine affirmation. Lubos na nililiwanag o naliliwanagan ng pagpapatibay ng Diyos. Fully illumined by divine affirmation. Now, both of those principles, even as Joseph was interpreting God's word by the venue of dreams, those are principles that still apply to the way we approach the word of God that is now written. That is why they are very important. The first is, in interpreting God's word, we must be firmly unimpressed by human ability. In Joseph's interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams, he is in stark contrast with Egypt's interpreters. Before summoning Joseph, a conference is assembled of all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. They are the professionals. They are the scholars of Egypt. They are trained in dream interpretation. But as they were told of the dream of Pharaoh, they could not interpret those dreams. And then Joseph comes to the court. He is totally unimpressed by these assembled professionals, and he gives his interpretation that comes from God. You see, it teaches us that the understanding of God's word is repeatedly hindered by human prejudice. Ang pagkaunawa ng salita ng Diyos ay malimit na nahahadlangan ng panghuhusga ng tao. The understanding of God's word is repeatedly hindered by human prejudice. Now, there are three groups of people in this story that Joseph has to transcend in order to have God's interpretation, the interpretation that comes from God. He told Pharaoh, God is the one who will give interpretation. There are the magicians and the wise men. As I've said, they are the professionals. They are schooled in interpretation of dreams. And we have the equivalent of these professionals today, the scholars, the scientists, whose words are almost always given more weight than the word of God. When you hear what scientists are saying and you compare them to what the Bible teaches, where do you think the leaning is towards? It will be towards what scientists are saying. And there are many who, though they profess to believe the word of God, are willing to give up on what the Bible teaches when scientists speak. Because scientists say so, many who otherwise believe the Bible as God's word will give up on creation. Because many scientists consider that a myth. And they don't want to be considered unscientific. And so they give way to what the ability of scientists is determining. Others are willing to admit that there are errors in the Bible, although they will say its teachings are perfect, but there are errors in history, there are errors in science, and they think that is the way to go forward in not being treated as unscientific, yet still biblical. Is believe that as far as faith is concerned, the Bible is good. But as far as facts are concerned, the Bible is just like any other book. And when we allow this prejudice to tamper with the word of God, we miss its beauty and we reject its veracity, which is so important for us to have it as truly God's word that speaks to us. So Joseph had to transcend the professionals. An even more powerful person that Joseph has to transcend is Pharaoh himself. Now remember, Pharaoh is believed to be God in ancient Egypt. And when Joseph says it is God who will give the answer, there is an implicit denial to Pharaoh, you are not God. God alone, the God of Israel, he is the true God. So clearly, Joseph is unimpressed with the claim of this powerful man. He can see through his frail humanity. He could not understand God's word given to him in the form of dreams. But there is a third source of prejudice, which I think is the strongest of all. Because Joseph says when Pharaoh made the introduction that you can interpret dreams, Joseph immediately answers, it is not in me. The third source of prejudice is the strongest, self, your own prejudice. That is the third source, and that is the strongest of all. We have our own prejudices, how to interpret the word. Prejudices that come from our breeding, from our culture, from the biases of society, and we tend to follow what the majority would say. The word of God, for example, is so clear in its teaching on salvation. And yet prejudice will keep insisting that it must be by my own righteousness. It must be by being religious. It must be by accumulating good works. When again and again, the Bible teaches that it is not by works. No one can be saved by his own righteousness because no one is righteous. And if you are hearing this message and you still are insisting that I must be saved because I'm good, I must be saved because I'm religious, I must be saved because I try to do good to my fellow men, you are not hearing the word of God. You are living by your prejudice. And that prejudice will truly bring you to the judgment of God. The word of God is unambiguous about matters of ethics, like creating man as male and female. But now you hear the rebellion. I am what I want myself to be. And even though my body tells you I'm a man, but I'd like in my mind to say I'm a woman, and it is up now to what everyone thinks. The transgender revolution. And in the Tokyo Olympics, for the first time, a transgender played for New Zealand in female weightlifting. And they kept referring to him as she because that's the way he wanted it to be. So he joined the women's competition because he must be treated as a woman, even though before he already joined as a man. That's how lunatic people become when it comes to ethics, because they rebel against God's creation. You have the prejudice of the wise of the world, the prejudice of the powerful, and the prejudice of yourself. These are the prejudices we need to stand against, that we need to transcend, because the interpretation of God's word must simply be that, God's word, God's interpretation. And when we come to the written word, no longer dreams, the same principle, we must interpret it according to what God has inspired to be written. All of us, I think, receive regularly texts in our smartphones. And when you receive a text, your instinct is to interpret it according to what you think the sender means. That's just a matter of logic. And if you have to ask others, because there's something unclear, you ask them, what do you think the sender means? You will not say, what do I want this to mean? And you will not ask others and ask them, what do you want this to mean? What you want to understand is what the sender means. And that is just God's word. When you try to understand God's word, it is not what the experts are saying. It is not what the powerful are saying. It is not even what your prejudice would like it to be. It must be what God intends. And it takes submission to God's kingdom rule to do that. And the challenge here is beware of impressive claims of what God's will is without the word that is written. Mag-ingat ka sa mga kahangahangang mga inaangkin kung ano ang kalooban ng Diyos na wala namang nakasulat sa salita ng Diyos. When Paul has to contrast his ministry with those of the false apostles in Corinth, false apostles whom he calls super apostles, the contrast is in the way they use the word of God. The super apostles, he says, employ disgraceful, underhanded ways when they treat the word of God. Whereas Paul says, I refuse to tamper with God's word. Now, to tamper is to contaminate. And to contaminate means to mix a foreign substance that is not in the original. And that distorts the thought. It distorts what God intended in what he has written. And one advantage that the final form of God's word now is not dreams, but written, it easily detects tampering with God's word. It demands of us not to allow ourselves to be impressed by pretentious claims in the name of God. And there are just so many of such impressive, pretentious claims. Claims of miracles. A few days ago, a woman is claiming to have gone to heaven and returned to earth. And now she is thinking she has earned the hearing of people because she has gone to heaven. Romans 16:18 gives this warning by Paul. Such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. So Paul calls their discourses smooth talk. It is sweet to listen to. And they flatter. How do you flatter? By giving an idea of advantage, of benefit. And such pretenders will sometimes manage to creep into churches, gain a hearing because they are persuasive. It is very persuasive to be told that God will save someone because of his merits and by his works. And it hurts one's ego to be told that there is no righteousness that is acceptable to God except the righteousness of his Son. And unless you come to God through the righteousness of his Son by believing in him and repenting from your sin, there is no salvation. It hurts your ego. It breaks your prejudice. What is not clear about to you who are young believers? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Are you justifying? This is what makes health and wealth claims very popular. They flatter the hearers, no matter how false they are. And even more subtle for Reformed churches today is this emphasis on social justice as the gospel. I believe in social justice. I condemn racism of all forms, but the gospel is about the justice of God satisfied by the death of his Son. And even Pharaoh, like other pharaohs before him and after him who were recognized as God, needed to recognize the only true God. And that's what Joseph was boldly doing in his approach to Pharaoh. God has spoken. He spoke to Pharaoh and through him to Joseph. And what is being processed here is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. God covenanted with Abraham that through him and his family, all the families of the earth will be saved. And God is doing some token of demonstration of how it is going to happen, that even in the midst of famine, because of Joseph, other nations will benefit. God has finally spoken in his final form in the written word. And are you listening to that written word? Because that is the way to circulate the blessing of God to all the world. In 1536, the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V, with the connivance of the King of England, Henry VIII, had William Tyndale executed. For what? Crime? Bible translation. He had a Bible translated into English following some of the people of the past. And the authorities wouldn't allow it. And I'm telling you this in order to make the point that so much blood was shed by our forebears, in order to give to us our Bibles in very good publication form, and we are free to read. We are free and we have access to the Word of God. What are you doing with it? Or are you too impressed with what others are saying in their prejudice? A biblical interpretation will be firmly unimpressed with human ability, but secondly, it will be fully illumined by divine affirmation. Now, there is something that we need to take note. This is the last pair of dreams. And every time God speaks by dreams in the Joseph narrative, they come in pairs. Joseph had two dreams. In the prison house, there were two officers who had their dreams. And now Pharaoh had a pair of dreams. Now finally, Joseph explains why they come in pair. He says the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means the thing is fixed. That is, it is established by God. So in this last pair, Joseph explains that the reason is that with two, the revelation is established. This is an early demonstration of what will become a principle in the Mosaic law, that by the word of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. The same is true with interpretation. A basic principle of interpretation is that God's word is principally interpreted by his own word. During the time that God speaks by dreams in Joseph's narrative, another dream affirms a previous dream. And now that God's word is written, the principle remains the same. It is expressed by the reformers in the Latin scriptura scripturae interpris. Scriptures interpret scripture. This goes against the Roman Catholic that affirms or that claims that it is the church that has authority over the Bible to interpret it. The reformers rejected that. This goes against the practice of establishing a trend by a singular proof text, which is how cults are formed. There are many false views and practices that are built upon a singular use of a text of the scriptures not affirmed by the whole witness of the scriptures. The Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that hell means nothing more than grave, because a text or two will tell you that, and just because of that, they make it the whole teaching of scriptures. And there are so many such false teachings today. When a lawyer comes to the court to defend the case, he prepares his precedents to back up his case, especially Supreme Court rulings. Or in your case, if you're trying to determine the meaning of a first text that comes to you from a sender and it's not that clear, but a second text comes and a third, affirming what the original, what the first text intended, that's the way to affirm it. The whole witness of God's word. And that is how we come to the word of God, because of our respect for it. We do not make it mean what we want it to mean. We want to see what God's word in totality is saying in order that we may come up with what God intends. And the challenge is grow in understanding the whole biblical witness on an issue of teaching and conduct. Lumago ka sa pag-unawa ng kabuuang patutuo ng Biblia sa anumang usapin ng katuruan o pagkilos. A proper understanding of God's word will include application in one's conduct. This is what Joseph does. Right after his interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams, he advises him what to do. And this is how many waste their understanding of the word because there is no application that is immediate to attitude and conduct. Psalm 119 and verse 60 says, I did not delay to obey your word. That is the way to benefit from in understanding God's word. If you are truly in quest of God's truth, a truth that bears upon an issue you have now in your life, the question that should come back to you is, am I prepared to respond in obedience? Am I prepared to obey? The way to really appreciate the word now written is to apply it. Apply it immediately. Be willing to be taught. So here we have the encounter between Joseph and the most powerful man, except that Joseph was seeing a greater power than this powerful man. He saw God speaking, and he must interpret it according to God's light. Now that demands a belief in the inerrancy of the word of God. That is, when God speaks, there will be no error. Men will always be prone to error. Men will always be with their prejudices. But when you approach the word of God, that word has no error, and you must make sure that your understanding of it is one that comes from God. One legacy of R.C. Sproul was when he became one of the leaders of what became, in recent times, one of the most decisive statements of biblical inerrancy, known as the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy. And that happened in 1978. And that is something that we need to refresh again and again. We believe in the Bible. This is God's word. And to the extent that it is consistent with God, what God has originally intended and has inspired to be written, it has no error. And we must believe that. And believing that means we must understand it in the light of what God means. Not what we would like it to mean, but what God means. Are there so many interpretations, as we are often told? Well, yes, from men. But there is only one from God. And that is what we want to receive. Every time we open the scriptures, we must, as we respond in our hymn, pray that the Lord will break the bread of life and lead us to the Lord Jesus.